You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, Steve plays some games, John plays some games, and Kev is nowhere to be found. Episode 29, Redheads Have All the Fun.
Hello, you are listening to Blast Processing. We are coming to you live from the...
I think this is Blast Cave 2.
Blast Cave 2?
Yeah.
Blast Cave 2. We're coming to you live from Blast Cave 2. Blast Chamber 2. The Chamber of Sin.
The Star Chamber.
Oh, no. Not the Star Chamber.
I could have said Chamber of Secrets.
But I don't like Harry Potter! You are listening to, of course, Blast Processing, the official podcast of things that are game-related on DVD Verdict. You're listening to Blast Processing. Oh, the humanity of it all. With me this week, I have Mr. John Mercer.
Yo!
Mr. Woolridge is currently lost in parts unknown. We think he's actually playing Jim Crochet in some kind of a musical thing, so he's a little busy writing and playing and singing and picking guitar and stuff, playing Jim Crochet songs. I hope he does Rapid Roy to Stock Car Boy. That's a great song. Of course he's not going to do that. He's too classy for that.
There's an old Christmas card.
But it's not Christmas time. Let's get right down to it. John, what have you been playing this week?
Two games. First up, I might as well get out of the way, because I was actually playing it last time we recorded as well. I just started playing it, and I honestly feel in not warning people about it, I've let a week go by.
That they could have been playing it. Oh, you.
Yeah.
Inhuman monster.
I didn't buy it. I've rented it at the video store.
You still have a video store?
Yeah, there's a video store out here.
That rents games?
That rents games.
That's not fair.
I know. They don't get very many games. They tend to get bigger retail stuff.
Oh, okay.
And for some reason, outside of the bigger retail stuff, they also had Inversion.
Oh.
New third-person action shooter from Saber Interactive, I want to say.
Saber Interactive.
And Namco Bandai. And, okay, I'm a sucker for a good third-person shooter.
Me too.
I really am.
Me too.
Especially when it's been generously spiced with a little bit of sci-fi. You know, people have heard me talk on Length, of course, Binary Domain.
Awesome.
Vanquish, super awesome.
Super awesome.
Right? I'd even go so far as to call Vanquish one of the best third-person shooters this generation.
Definitely.
And,
Smoke Break Button. President
Crazy Bitch. But we, And, you know, I'm also a sucker for these shooters when they've got a little bit of a gameplay gimmick, too. You know, I was a big fan of Time Shift.
And same guys.
Same guys?
Saber Interactive.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. I was a big fan of course, Singularity.
That wasn't the same guys.
Which didn't really have a gimmick. Singularity's gimmick was that it was creepy as fuck.
Singularity's gimmick was that it was little.
What's the only way to be scary in Silent Hill? Imagine Silent Hill in Russia. But anyway, Inversion, I might as well say it. I can't say it's a terrible game, because it doesn't suck, it's not broken. It's just, the execution does not match the potential. You know, the gravity manipulating gimmick, and I'm going to call it a gimmick, because that's what it is. It's not implemented smoothly enough, nor near enough for it to matter in the game. You know exactly when you've got to use it, because whatever you need to aim it at is sparkling in the...
I got the impression, looking at it, that it was kind of like a half-cooked idea. It was an idea that they didn't really have the time or resources to fully realize.
Exactly.
And that's because it's got Namco Bandai written on it.
Yeah, and they had like, and that's what it feels like. It feels like it was something that was rushed to market. It feels like something like a company like Activision or EA would have given a bit of extra time to.
A bit of TLC,
yeah. And, you know exactly when you got to use it in the game, and it's really only... It's a sizable hand, it's a John Dobbin handful, but it's still only a handful of times you really need to use it, and when you use it in combat, it doesn't fucking matter. You know, you pick the, you hit the guys with the gravity shot. You put them in zero G or hot, low gravity, high gravity, whatever. High gravity just pins them to the ground. Low gravity lifts them up and makes them float.
But they can still attack you or something, can't they?
They can still aim and hit you. It doesn't fucking change anything. It does. Like, it was, you remember Fracture? It plays like Fracture. It's just, it's really...
Fracture was bad.
Really, really half-baked. Undercooked, you know. Put it back in the oven. It ain't finished. And you just... It was just really, really bad. And then the times when you do need to use it, it's infuriating. There's a boss fight in it where you got to pull heavy crates and stack them in front of you to make cover. But it can still destroy the cover after a few concentrated bursts of fire.
So you just gotta do all the same stuff again.
Do all the same stuff again. Then after you're behind cover, you're grabbing, you're picking up big globs of like explosive shit and throwing it at it, right? It's... Remember PsyOps?
I do remember PsyOps.
Yeah, well... It's... I really liked PsyOps for the time.
Yeah.
Right? You go back and you play it now, it hasn't aged very well, but it's got, like... The idea was implemented really well. You had to use those powers. It's kind of like PsyOps. Now, imagine how awesome PsyOps would be with modern shooting mechanics.
It'd be pretty cool.
It'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, this is just... It's like they took half of PsyOps, right? And it's just... It felt sloppy. It felt really, really sloppy. And it was a game I desperately wanted to like. And then, as I put an hour into it, and then 2 hours... I realized I wasn't desperate to like it. I was desperate to fucking feel anything akin to enjoyment.
Desperate to be anything but completely ambivalent.
Yeah. And as you say, it's so mediocre, it doesn't matter.
Right on.
Right?
These guys were also the guys... I remember the funny thing I remember about Inversion was word leaked that they were the guys doing the Halo Anniversary Edition, the remake of the original Halo for Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And like 2 days after this news story leaked that they were the guys who were porting Halo to the 360.
Yeah. Wasn't that a decent port, though?
It was excellent. Yeah. But 2 days after that port, like after news leaked out that this was the studio that was doing it using an all-new engine, blah, 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 Inversion was announced. So as soon as Saber Interactive's name started popping up in the news, that was when Namco hit with the trailers for Inversion.
Yeah.
And, I think it was one of the guys from Saber actually kind of came out and said it was a little unfortunate, because then the rumors about them working on Halo disappeared because Inversion was announced.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of like a case of the snake eating its own tail, right?
Yeah. And it feels like an incomplete game. And you're sitting there, and all I can say is, you know, gamers out there, your $60 deserves better. You deserve better, and there's a lot better games out there.
I think it's already gone down in price. I think it's going for $49 now.
Oh, God. Jesus. It hasn't even been out a month.
That'll tell you right there.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's just another... Do you remember when Namco was a badge of honor? Do you remember when the first PlayStation came out, and the early success of that system was built on Namco, and they're better than perfect arcade ports?
Oh, everything was Namco and Psygnosis.
Yeah.
They were the two companies that kind of made that system, yeah.
Yeah. And now you're seeing it. Like, I remember when Enslaved was announced, and we saw Namco Bandai, I was like, oh, no! You're going to take Ninja Theory and just, you know, make them not matter anymore. Albeit the game turned out okay.
But it could have been better.
It could have been better.
Yeah.
Yeah, Inversion doesn't fare quite as well. And Inversion, like... Okay, a game where you know, it could have been like, even like Dark Void. Dark Void had that rocket pack. Dark Void's gameplay was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was, even if you don't think it was awesome, like, I'm a geek for that sci-fi stuff, and you know, that 30s Daredevil, like the Rocketeer shit. I'm a nut for that.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a nut for that, Dark Void's shooting mechanics, Dark Void's gameplay was solid enough.
Yep.
That you could still play it and enjoy it. This feels more like Bionic Commando or it's just unfinished, sloppy.
I'll always give Namco Bandai like a little bit of props because they published Dark Souls. But even then, I know that there was like...
How much of Dark Souls, though, is... How much of that props is...
From software. Because the whole thing with Dark Souls was they have first look on anything that From Software develops for outside of Japan. So, like, in North America, Namco Bandai has first refusal on anything that From Software makes.
Yeah.
And this is why Dark Souls was Dark Souls and not Demon's Souls 2, because Namco Bandai immediately exercised their right to publish it.
Yeah.
You know? So, it became a situation where...
I was like, God, yeah. Listen, if something like Atlas, which is, you know, Atlas release niche games, that's what they do. They're working designs too.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not a bad thing. We need publishers out there like that. But Namco, if they had fucked up Dark Souls, would be killing a cash cow, because Demon's Souls wasn't a sleeper hit. That was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It wasn't a huge hit for an action RPG. It was a huge hit.
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't sell, you know, Uncharted numbers or Call of Duty numbers or anything like that, but it did far better than anybody expected it to.
Far better.
You know?
When you're seeing a game like that, like, games like that will show up on the shelf at Walmart and be there for about 2 months.
Yeah.
When you're seeing Demon's Souls there going greatest hits and Demon's Souls sitting there on the shelf a year and 2 years later, and people still buying it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a sign of quality.
Exactly.
Sign of quality that Inversion does not have.
What was your other big one or small one?
And I know we got a couple listeners going to get excited about this. I've been avoiding the series like the plague since the late 90s.
Uh-oh.
And I sat down, because I got a reader request in my email, because I've been, I hadn't even noticed it, but apparently it's been an incredible chain of rated M for mature titles. And, somebody requested, why don't you do something on the 3DS, why don't you do something on the Wii, do something for kids. So I said, fuck it. And I went, and the video store had this one too, and I picked up Pokemon Conquest.
Oh my god. Wow.
And, again, I'm not going to say it was terrible, because it wasn't.
Did you know what was going on?
Oh, no, I had no idea. Okay,
I wouldn't. I'd be just like, ah.
You remember Dragon Force?
No.
For Saturn, Dragon Force, the awesomeness.
Yes, 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 yes.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like Dragon Force, and Dragon Force didn't make any goddamn sense either.
No, it
didn't. It was just so batshit insane cool that, you know, yeah. You had to, you know, free meet an army of samurai up against an army of zombies.
I bought Dragon Force used at Microplay.
Yeah.
And it didn't have it was in a case, but it didn't have the instruction booklet. It just had the front cover of the instruction booklet, like, shoved into the case.
Yeah.
And I got it home and I started playing it. I had no goddamn idea what I was doing. And I wound up giving it to Tony.
I remember how excited he was, too. He was like, are you sure you want to give this to me?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, man. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, and just so everyone understands, we're game collectors, but we're not that kind of game collector.
No.
You know, I want to own a game that I enjoy.
I had that conversation today with a guy, Brandon, I think his name is. He works at my local video game establishment. And we were talking about it this morning. We were talking about, you know, being game collectors. And I said, you know, like, he was talking about he had just recently picked up Star Ocean for PlayStation 3 and started playing it. And I was like, oh, cool, I enjoyed that game. And I told him, you know, I said, I almost traded it in about 2 weeks ago, because I knew it was worth good trade bait. But it violated one of my rules. And that was, I can't trade any. Well, my big trade rules, if I want to get rid of anything out of the collection, are, number one, it can't be anything that is worth less than $5.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for $5 is two coffee. What the hell is $5 in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah.
And number two, nothing that's hard to get.
Yeah.
You know, if I could have trouble tracking it down again, I will not part with it.
Yeah.
But if it's something I have more than one copy of, you know, like, well, I mean, Dragon Force, I couldn't play Dragon Force.
No.
You know, and, you know, Tony wouldn't appreciate it a hell of a lot more than I would. Why would I keep it?
Yeah.
And it was the same, like, I told him.
Well, it's like Tony took your copy of Smasher off your hands.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or like I told him about, I told Brandon the day when I was talking to him about the Dot Hack games. I had all seven of the Dot Hack games.
Yeah.
And
there were seven of those?
Yeah, oh yeah, I hated them. I hated those games.
There were only four.
No, there was, well, four from one series, and then there was another three-part series.
Oh, okay, yes.
And I hated those games.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't stand them. I finished the first one just out of spite. And started playing the second one. I was like, you know what? I'm checking out. I can't handle this anymore.
Like me and Xenosaga.
Yeah, yeah. And
I played through the first Xenosaga because I loved Xenogears so much.
Yeah. And if someone is willing to offer me $250 for those games,
yeah,
better you than me.
Yeah.
You know, here, take them. $250, fine. And like Chrono Trigger, same deal. I own four copies of Chrono Trigger between three systems.
Yeah.
I don't need a boxed Super Nintendo copy if I can play it whenever I want.
Exactly.
You know? So if someone wants to pay me $200, a silly amount of money for a Super Nintendo game,
yeah,
take it.
You know, I still got it. I can still play it whenever I want.
So. Well, getting back on topic about Pokemon. Yeah. No, that was a good
deviation.
That was a good detour. Gave me time to think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Pokemon Conquest is. I think it plays the Nobunaga's ambition current a little too much. It's the strategy that's a little complex for that sort of game.
Okay.
But it's a half decent little strategy RPG. Kind of dumbed down, but kind of, like, foolishly complex at the same time. Like, there's, you know, a good hour's worth of tutorial shit at the beginning. And I'm like, okay, your daughter plays Pokemon.
She does.
Right?
Both of them.
Yeah. And I'm talking more about Abby. Abby's a smart girl, right?
Abby'd figure it out.
She'd figure it out. Yeah. But is she going to sit there, is she going to want to sit there and tolerate hours of... You remember the menus in friggin'... this is going to be the name of this episode, you remember? You remember the menus in the tutorials in Zone of the Enders and how much they sucked?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that. It's a Japanese tutorial system.
See, I could see her devouring that.
Yeah.
Sammy could never do it.
But and that's just... I think Abby would love the hell out of it. Now, it's dumbed-down Pokemon. You know, each creature only has one attack.
Okay.
One type of... But the attacks where it's on a grid, they all have different... effects and everything.
Right on.
And where it comes in, like, Dragon Force, is every character in your army has their own monster that they're attuned to.
Yeah, it has their own role to play.
And they're not carrying around in balls. The Pokemon in this are, like, mythological beasts, right?
That's kind of cool.
But they still look like Pokemon.
Oh, that's not so cool.
No. And the characters all look like Sengoku Basara. You know, they're all... Samurai helmets are, like, friggin' moose antlers 7 feet wide. Right?
That's so, kind of cool.
Yeah. No, it was, and that's just it. It was kind of cool, and, you know, people like Pokemon are probably going to dig it. Not my cup of tea.
See, I think it's kind of cool that Nintendo is throwing a little bit of,
And that's what I was going to say about it. This is a type of game that it's cool to play, and I could see strategy RPG fans like it. I could see kids who've been playing Pokemon. It's a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
I've meant it was dumbed down because I only got the one attack, but it's a little bit more advanced of a story and more advanced gameplay style, and I think getting, you know, kids who are into Pokemon, making that transition is awesome, and I think having that name on there is going to help that game sell like,
right? I think it's cool that Nintendo is throwing a bone to, like, those kids who were kids when Pokemon Red and Blue came out, you know, like those guys
and
who
actually
are,
this,
you know, maybe early 20s now, and this is a Pokemon game for them to play.
And when I...
You know?
I gotta apologize. I don't know if these guys even play these games. I'm just gonna make the assumption they do. This is a game aimed at Johnny Witt or Blair, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were age appropriate when Pokemon came out.
Yeah.
And if anyone who stuck with that, and I mean, there's guys out there in their early 20s who have stuck with the series because, you know, I see Abby playing it, and it's got to be addictive.
Oh yeah,
it's got to be.
Well, I mean, it's Dragon Warrior.
Yeah,
it plays just like Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
Only with a collector aspect added on. You know, like tacked on to it.
And I still get a giggle of the whole, yeah, we've got to conquer all the 17 nations of the 17 kingdoms of the country of Ronsai before the fucking ruthless and ambitious Nobunaga, who is just as evil as he was in Onimusha.
But it's a Pokemon game.
But it's a Pokemon game.
That is hilarious. Oh,
that's it for me. So,
What did I play this week? I played a bit of Forza 4.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I was into a few of my just time waster games. You know, I just want to play something, I'm going to throw this on. Forza 4, which is like my ultimate time waster game. I can go in, you know, like, well, shit, I got to be somewhere in 45 minutes, so I'll just get in and play without a Vista mode for a while and listen to Jeremy Clarkson comment on... The Bugatti Veyron, you know?
The greatest road to drive on in the world.
In the world. But yeah, no, like, I did play a bit of Forza 4. I did do a few more events in career mode. I'm up to, like, level 18 or 19 now, which is pretty cool. And I got back into some Skyrim again, because with Skyrim I can just pop it in and tool around, you know?
Yep. I'm going to go kill a bear.
But what's cool about Skyrim is... It's been the first time in probably about 3 months that I played it.
Yeah.
And going back to it after 3 months, like after taking that long of a break.
Yeah.
You kind of rediscover just how gorgeous the game is.
Yeah.
You know, and my new character is working out really well. My archer is really working out well. I just joined the Imperial Legion. And You know, it's I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
It's a great game. And it is a cool time waster. It is a cool, you know, just walk around for a while. I can play for an hour or 2 hours and go on about my business, you know, go on about my day.
Oh, didn't make no bones about it. I know we've all had our talk about how Skyrim's main campaign was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, how epic the opening of the game is.
Oh, my God,
how much of a letdown it was. But, I mean, besides, that game is still a fucking technological
game. It is still the game of 2011. Yeah. You know, it is still the best game of last year. As much as
it is still the game that converted hardcore COD fans.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's still the game that
the minute they saw, you know, the whole.
Yeah, it really kind of ruined social consciousness for 2011. You know, there was people who played Skyrim and people who listened to people talk about playing Skyrim. You know, one else.
I get home. My wife would take my son out. You know, she'd want to get out of the house. I'd be off work on a Saturday. And she said, John, you know, I'm going to take the car. I'm going to go head up town to, you know, go shopping for a bit. I'll take Jacob out, you know, let him get out, get a bit of fresh air. And
whatever else, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you take the afternoon, play some games. You come home, we'd be sitting at the table at dinner. John, what was your day like? Isn't that the level up sound?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's... It is still just such an awesome game. I
don't want us to get no, you know, blast processing. Oh, they're the guys who turned on Skyrim.
No, and we're not. We couldn't possibly. I mean, yeah, there are elements of it that bug me and stuff.
I'm excited to see J Dobbs playing it online now.
Yeah, and
he's hooked.
There are times where I kind of think Skyrim or Dark Souls. There are times I waver to Dark Souls because that game is a goddamn work of art too.
Yeah,
you know, but I just Skyrim is just such a great, well executed game. You know.
Yep.
What else did I play? Did I play anything else? I
Bon
did
Bon, sir.
Bon Bon. Nice. Ooh, it's got cocoa in. But I did dig into a game on the PC. They make games for those.
I use my PC to pay my taxes.
I did crack into a PC game that wasn't Diablo 3. I actually tried. I grabbed a trial version and took a stab at Civilization 5.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was it?
I don't know.
No.
I took turns. I hit next turn a few times. Queen Elizabeth showed up. I asked if she wanted to, like, cooperate with me or something. She said no. So I think I might have called her a bitch or something. And then
the Empire declared war.
Then I died. Then my civilization was wiped out by the Brits.
Did you hear that story about the guy who's had the Civ 2 game running for, like,
10 years? This is what kind of spurred me on to try it, actually.
I read about that, you know, three countries locked in a perpetual nuclear war.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only way to keep them alive is they all three of them had to be totalitarian.
Well, see, a friend of mine, Justin's been playing it as well. Shout out to Mr. Justin. And
you sold us out, Woodford. Team Wing Kong.
But he's been playing it and been posting Facebook updates about it and stuff. So I said, man, I gotta try it. And it's kind of cool. I could definitely see the appeal. But it's a time sink. And I can't see myself spending the time to play it. Other than that, I'm on the second last level, I think, of Ghost Recon Future Soldier. And it is goddamn amazing.
Griff's is the... Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I say this about every third person action shooter that comes out, but Griff's is the best third person action shooter. When I popped in Inversion and just saw the title screen, I was like, Inversion is the greatest third person action shooter of this generation.
But yeah, no, Griff's is.
Then I keep thinking back to amazing. This is Sam. He's on loan from DARPA.
Smoke break button. I think that's about it.
A suit that stops time, and it's on loan from DARPA.
I think that's it. I think that's all I've played. I think. Is there anything on the iPad?
No, Woolridge was supposed to be here to talk about that.
I did play something on the iPad.
Yeah?
I played Marathon.
What, like?
The old Bungie Marathon. It's for a Doom clone. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it. Nothing really other than that to say about it. Everything pretty much can be summed up with the words Doom clone.
Yeah.
It's Doom for Mac.
But you want to know something? honestly, what the fuck's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Doom was pretty goddamn sweet.
Not a goddamn thing. It was pretty fun. I
still remember playing Doom 3 for the first time and realizing Doom had music. I had a 386, everyone, with no speakers, so
you used the PC speaker inside?
Yeah. So I'd hear people in school talking about Wolfenstein, and ach, my lame, and I'd just laugh, and like, yeah, that was hilarious. I have no idea what anyone's talking about. The listeners at home probably didn't hear that.
No. It's okay.
Yeah.
News! Now we do the news. So, release dates. Doom 3 BFG edition, which I really can't wait for.
I can't wait for. My wife can't wait. My wife, who the last game she played new was Rage, because she's an id fangirl from back in the day.
Nice.
Which was a Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it on October 16th of this year.
Yeah.
Doom 3, Resurrection of Evil, this whole new Doom 3, the Lost Mission thing, plus Doom 1 and Doom 2.
Yeah, that's a whole shit ton of Doom.
Yeah, that's mega Doomage.
Yeah, I think that's all of the
Doom. It's pretty much everything, yeah, it's the entire...
John Carmack brings you all of the Doom.
All the Dooms, all your Dooms.
Dooms, you has them.
In delayed news, Anarchy Reigns has been delayed to 2013...
Been pushed back.
Pushed back into hell, we hope. Please.
Yeah. And listen, I'm speaking as the one person in North America who liked Mad World. Sega?
No.
Don't. It's going to come out, it's going to be a waste of money, and you're going to be one step closer to not existing.
Yeah, you're going to be sitting there in 3 months' time, wringing your head, wringing your hands, and face-palming, and... repeating to yourself, where did we go wrong? What did we do wrong? I'll tell you what you did wrong. You made Anarchy Reigns.
Yeah.
It's just not it.
Just like a couple of years ago when we told you what you did wrong was making Iron Man and Iron Man 2 and Golden Axe and Thor. Didn't they lose their... Yeah, that's why there was no... My cousin called me and said, dude, how come there was no Avengers game made? Because Sega lost the contract.
Someone else picked it up, though, but apparently the game was shit, so they canceled it.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was.
Movie was awesome, though.
Oh, the movie was great. Movie was super fun.
Seth Killian, Capcom's mouthpiece for the general public, and I believe was the director of the Capcom Unity.
Yeah, the Capcom Unity, yeah.
S. Kill, otherwise known as the last boss of Street Fighter 4.
Fucker.
He's hitting the trail.
He's making, moose shit.
Heading on to apparently accomplish some new dreams. Capcom doesn't care, because it hates its fans. We've cancelled your Mega Man Legends 3, and now we've cancelled Seth Killian. I had to kill Bob Morton because he made a mistake.
I had to wonder what the hell is going on at Capcom.
Okay, our first Inafune, who bled blue and gold for years, mm-hmm. when if he slit his wrist, all you'd hear is the 16-bit Capcom sound kicking. I can remember when that you saw Capcom on a game case, and it was like, this is going to be, your rental was guaranteed.
Yeah.
Money.
It was going to be good stuff. But yeah, between that, between Keiji Inafune and his whole Japanese game industry, blah, blah, blah. Then, I don't know if anybody out there has caught it, but there was a Eurogamer interview with Yoshinori Ono.
It wasn't as cordial as Inafune.
Man, he really doesn't like Capcom. And he's still with them. He still works for the company.
Yeah.
And he was sour, man. I mean, he's had health issues and stuff like that recently. He had to kind of pull back from Street Fighter and stuff. And this guy always seems so full of life.
Yep.
And so fun, and just so goddamn bouncy.
Like anyone remembers, when they announced that Street Fighter Cross Tekken and Tekken Cross Street Fighter Project, and the guy from Namco is out on stage, and who runs out dressed as Chun-Li to kick him in the ass? Yoshinori Ono.
Yeah.
This guy is energy bomb.
He had some really bad things to say, man.
Yeah.
He basically trashed the way they've handled Street Fighter. He still considers, even after the success of Street Fighter 4, he considers that particular franchise to be Capcom's redheaded stepchild. And
which it shouldn't be. I mean,
no, it really shouldn't be. And he he had a lot of bad to say about the fact that he had all these health issues, and his first day back to work, there was a ticket to Rome sitting on his desk to go attend some convention.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, and them fronting the story then saying that, oh, they couldn't keep him away, and he had to go, and, you know, it's kind of amazing when I think about it, yeah. But I have to wonder what the hell is going on with Capcom these days.
I don't know. But Resident Evil 6 is going to be awesome.
I don't know. I'm not really impressed with the last bit of stuff I saw on that.
No?
Resident Evil 6's E3 showing was not all that impressive.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Which is kind of saddening. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm sure it'll be a great game, but, you know.
My, all is not good at the blue and gold.
My expectations have definitely been tempered a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
All is not well at the blue and gold.
No, but what is where things are really well is the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Down in Australia.
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 This one goes out to my buddy Link.
Represent.
Yeah.
Australia officially has an 18-plus rating for video games. They have officially joined the rest of the world in embracing video games as a culture, not just for children. About freaking time, guys.
Yep. And I used to always think Australia was an awesome country.
I still think it's an awesome country, yeah. Even if all the animals want to kill you. Yeah. But, I mean, it's got the Bathurst Auto Show, which is one giant fist fight between Ford and Chev blokes.
And my wife's got a... there's a family friend lives down at a place called Coogee Beach, just outside of Sydney.
Yeah.
And, you know, this woman is so important. My Elizabeth Cat is named Coogee because of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like it'd be... she always talks about on the vacation, and she said, oh, the beaches are so beautiful. Yeah, but they're, you know, inhabited by... 99% of the world's most lethal creatures.
Yeah, things that want to destroy you.
Yeah.
Things that want to annihilate you.
Well, no, they don't want to. They're beyond evil. They just are.
They're just sentient death.
Yeah. There's a reason Australia is an island. Right? Geography is trying to protect us. But, no, guys, you got your...
you got your 18-plus rating and the first official game.
And it's... How many years now? How many years have we been seeing news stories?
We've been fighting for this for a while.
Every time. And I'm so glad now. You know, I got friends down there who missed Mortal Kombat, who missed, you know.
And I mean, in a lot of cases, like with Bethesda, you got a studio with the resources to kind of go in and say, well, you know what? They didn't like the fact that we referred to certain drugs a certain way, so we just added it.
Yeah.
For Australia. You know, they had the resources to do it, but a lot of the smaller companies didn't.
Yeah.
A lot of the smaller companies were like, well, you know what? If it doesn't get approved for Australia, it doesn't get released in Australia because we just can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's great that people now get the opportunity to play it. And it's considerably less, you know, Big Brother totalitarian.
Yeah.
Which is great. The first official, like, really announced game is Square Enix's Sleeping Dogs, which comes out in August.
Which looks batshit sick!
Looks freaking awesome.
Oh, we got some more good news.
More good news.
More good news.
This is a wealth of good news.
Yeah, we should do the show without Kevin more often. Love you, Kev.
You are a boy.
Mega Force.
Swish.
Some more good news out there for anyone who's been crying about how the game didn't get the love it deserved. Okami.
Okami. Okami.
Okami HD is coming to PS3 this fall. No word if they're actually going to put a... you know, voice track in it this time instead of the...
Now, you can ignore the game on 3 platforms.
Yep.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I got my copy.
I got mine, too.
Yeah.
Team Ninja, the head guy,
Yosuke
Hayashi, has said there are no plans to bring additional DLC characters to Dead or Alive 5. Due to concerns about gameplay balance. I, for one, think this is a very smart idea.
So do I. I've never been the biggest DOA fan. You know, I remember when DOA 4 hit, and it was gorgeous, and we all started playing it, and I nearly put my fist through your expensive television set.
We got bored really fast playing DOA 4.
Yeah, because...
We got bored really, really fast.
Because Johnson kept picking... You know, guys, you don't got to worry about gameplay balances with DLC characters when Katsuni is in that game.
Yeah, I guess. Fair enough.
But now, DOA 5 looks awesome.
It looks stunning, and you know what? DOA 2 and 3 were both amazing games.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to
that. Guys, you drop the ball with Ninja Gaiden 3?
Pick it up.
Pick it up and run with it here.
Yeah.
Hideo Kojima. Kojima, how do you pronounce that?
Hideo Kojima.
I can remember, a freaking character in my book has that last name, and I still can't pronounce it. Kojima has confirmed that Metal Gear Solid 5 is coming.
Yay!
And there will be some hints of Deus Ex's social interaction.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
I think that's kind of cool. I'm hoping it kind of goes for a little bit more of an open world thing. I think there were also rumors that it was going to be much heavier infiltration-based this time around. Like, it wasn't going to be as combat-heavy as
but
well
I
as.
Am... There's one thing I'm concerned about. Metal Gear Solid 4 was such a beautiful, beautiful exit for Snake.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd left it. And I know Kojima actually even said himself he wanted to kill Snake at the end of 4.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't allowed. Konami wouldn't let him.
I don't know. Any of our listeners are on our Facebook page, and if not, you should be.
That's right.
The Sunday night boss fight this week was the last boss music from
Metal Gear Solid 4,
which was
awesome.
It wasn't intense at all. It was meant to bring a tear to your cheek.
Yeah.
Right?
That game was just so perfectly executed.
Yeah, it was.
Saints Row, the DLC that was announced for it, Enter the Dominatrix, has been canned by THQ. It will, however, appear as a full-fledged Saints Row sequel in 2013. I don't know how I feel about this.
I think THQ and the state they're in, some cost-saving measures like that are very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand, and I realize Saints Row is a bit of a cash cow for them, it's important.
4 million copies of the last one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I've never played, and I have no interest in playing.
But Saints Row, if you're a Saints Row fan, Saints Row the Third was virtually fucking perfect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really don't know how I feel about the concept of that game as a full-fledged... Because basically the whole concept of it was, let's take Crackdown and fucking just go crazy with it.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Saints Row, the original,
yeah,
because it was kind of a holdover to the PlayStation 2 generation of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they took GTA Vice City, GTA San Andreas, and really kind of...
Which are still good games.
They're still great games, and they kind of took that formula and brought it into the current gen, which was great. And they got in ahead of Grand Theft Auto 4.
Which one was Burger Shot?
That was the first one. No, that Burger Shot was GTA 4.
GTA 4, that's yeah, right, GTA no, it was Freckle Bitches.
Freckle Bitches was Saints Row, yeah.
Give me a freckle bitches. I got a Jones in for a... I forget what the name of the burger was, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've never been a big fan of Saints Row's really overdone sense of humor.
Yeah.
But at least the first game, they kind of had a half-coherent storyline.
Yeah.
Whereas 2 and 3 were just like...
Well, 2, I know that was the biggest complaint about it, is that it was... And 3, they said, well, you know what? To hell with it.
It just went pure satire.
Yeah.
It turned into Airplane.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know what? I know that's what some people really appreciate the series for, but to me, playing Saints Row the Third when I could be playing GTA 4
yeah.
is like watching Meet the Spartans when I could be watching 300.
Yeah. 13th Warrior.
Or 13th Warrior. There we go.
But, and you know what? Hell, we got GTA 5 coming.
We so, do.
Yeah. And if you think that's going to suck, there's something wrong with you.
I agree.
You're broken.
I also agree.
Microsoft, speaking of broken, Microsoft has officially announced their Surface tablet will run on a full-on version of Windows 8. Has a detachable keyboard. Still probably not as cool as an iPad.
It, like, okay, have you seen this presentation?
No, I haven't.
I always get echoes, like, I think Steve Jobs' ghost was on stage.
Yeah?
I sort of felt like it felt like an Apple product review.
Yeah.
But it felt like someone trying really hard to pull off an Apple product reveal.
And not having the charisma of Steve Jobs' turtleneck?
Exactly. And, like, just the Surface, the little promotional videos they showed, like, all these little ball bearings falling on this fancy little keyboard. And
yeah.
I'm kind of like, what the hell? What am I watching? You know, I kept thinking back to The Simpsons, the Mr. Plow episode of The Simpsons, where you see the Mr. Plow smashing the snow globe, the opera singer and stuff, you know. But then they showed the...
You remember 1984?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
That's what it should have been. Somebody, girl coming out with a tablet on a, like a, like a sledgehammer and throwing it through a giant iPad with the big monolithic Steve Jobs looking down at all of his...
all of his minions.
Yeah.
But no, it looks like an okay tablet, but... And I guess it's kind of cool that it's running on a full-fledged version of Windows 8. But it just doesn't look like anything new. It doesn't look like it's pushing any kind of an envelope.
Yeah.
And this whole fold-down keyboard idea, I mean, this has existed on the iPad since the first one came out. And it's on all the Android tablets you can buy.
Dobbin's got one there for his, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Woolridge has one.
Yeah.
You know, and it doubles as a case.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, you know, there's not really anything here that excites me.
No.
No.
And honestly, I kind of feel that way at ever since Microsoft's E3 performances have started to suck.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm just talking about the gaming side of Microsoft now.
Yeah, and I mean, this, to be fair, this is not the gaming side.
But it's, yeah. No, it honestly feels like they've been playing catch-up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They've been playing follow the leader.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, there's no innovation left in the company.
Yeah.
You know, I just, it makes me sad. Now, I mean, it's kind of cool, like, where it runs on Windows 8 and they say it's a full-fledged version. That basically, the theory, the popular theory, is anything that will run on Windows 8 will run on this tablet.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. I mean, I could sit down and play Diablo 3 on my tablet. Okay, that would be kind of fun, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly wouldn't complain about that. Or Skyrim. Hey. Yep, damn, great. But I just, you know, like, I can't see the monetary investment.
Yeah.
When I could just buy a laptop. And I mean, like now I always say tablets are going to replace laptops eventually. You know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
But for the kind of functionality they're talking about, it's not like an iPad where it's got the user-friendliness. It is basically, you know, a PC in a tablet. And that's part of what makes the iPad such an or an Android tablet, for that matter, what makes it such an attractive prospect is usability. You know, whereas you're basically looking at a PC without the RAM, without the modular upgrading, without the software suite, you know, like, you're looking at a GIMP PC.
Yeah.
You're looking at a netbook, and netbooks blow.
Spewed out of the power book of the laziest Hollywood hack.
I think that's it for news.
Yeah, that's the end of the list.
Do we have a ambush topic, or a blast point, or retro rockets this week?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And this relates back to Inversion.
Okay.
Favorite old school game that took one of the like a core gaming mechanic and just did something different with it.
Ooh.
Kind of like, you know, Low G Man could jump the height of the screen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something that just did something different and it's something that you thought was cool. Something that.
Hmm. Damn.
I'll go with mine.
Okay.
TG-16 game. I don't know if this was even the first game to do it. It probably wasn't, but I thought it was awesome. Legendary X. Your guy, power his attack power. He picked up power-ups that lengthened this bar.
Okay.
You didn't have to charge your shot. You never had to hold on the attack button. Whenever he attacked...
Yeah, it automatically did the full strength of the attack.
Full strength of the attack, yeah. Right? So the faster you were swinging, it was like a real person. The faster you're swinging something, you're getting tired, things. Right?
Yeah.
I
do remember that game. That was a pretty cool game.
Yeah. And yeah. That was I always thought that was a pretty cool little mechanic.
Yeah, I've seen it in other games.
I think Astyanax did it.
Astyanax did do it,
yeah. Was Astyanax before Legendary X?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably was. But, yeah, I've seen it in other games, but Legendary X, it definitely stood out.
Yeah. Basically because it was an awesome game too.
Yeah. I know, I think it was with a Steinex once it powered up so far, like once you picked up enough power-ups, if you had your power bar full when you swung it, like launched a fireball as well.
Yeah, Power Blade did the same thing. The more you threw, the less range they had.
Yeah.
Alright. Oh shit, why didn't I say Power Blade?
Man. You know what I keep going to?
What?
I keep going to Prince of Persia.
Yeah?
Sands of Time. For PS2.
Yeah.
And Xbox. The Time Rewind. When that came out, that was pretty epic.
Honestly, I remember in 2003, I think it was you, me, and Jeff sitting down.
Yeah.
And that... I said I wasn't buying any games that week.
Famous last words.
I can't remember if it was Jack 2 or Ratchet and Clank game, but I think it was Jack 2.
I think it was Jack 2, yeah.
And I ended up... we ended up going back to the store, and you unlocked the door and got me my two copies.
Yeah.
After close, because I was hooked on Prince of Persia when he died the first time, and the continue screen was, no.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
That was just, like, that was so... That game was brilliant.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was your typical action platformer, you know? Like, it was just a standard, straight-up action platformer.
But it was the storytelling trimmings and, like, all the time rewind and stuff.
Yeah. And nobody done a time rewind like that
before. No, not in that fashion. And the way it altered the narrative and stuff was just so cool.
Yeah.
It was such a unique freaking game for the time.
And I remember the part later on in the game when you lost the dagger and you lost the ability to do that and you just...
You missed it.
You missed it.
Yeah. And just like, you know, you make a jump and you miss the jump or something in a particular harrowing spot and you hit the rewind, you're just like, you know?
Yeah. But what I loved about it is you didn't hold the rewind back long enough and you wasted a cylinder and a dagger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was great. It was a brilliant, really brilliant game design.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because it's been used in so much stuff since then, but what really blows me away is when it pops up in racing games. Like, I'm playing Forza 4 this morning, and, you know, I mess up a particularly tough turn. I just hit Y to rewind. You know? It's like, I'm playing Prince of Persia in a 2011 Camaro Z28 on the Silverstone circuit in the UK.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, if it were set in modern day, I could see the Prince being a big car. No.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the Prince was, Prince Dastan was driving the 2011 Camaro.
Oh, my God. No. Don't you get it?
No.
He's the Stig. Don't call him Prince Dashdan. He had a cooler name than the first one.
Yeah?
He didn't have a name, but the end of the game when your girl asks, who are you? And he gives her the name, the nonsense word, the fairy tale word her mother used to tell her.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the other thing. That ending was beautiful.
It was.
That ending was so beautiful. That was a great game. That was just such a great game.
I love the bit, man. When I picked up Prince of Persia, I just started going out with Beth that year. And she sat down over the Christmas holidays and watched me just play through Prince of Persia, completely enthralled with it. And I had the mile-wide smile on my face. I think it was about the second or third time you ran into her, and he really started to fall hard for Farrah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's run away from me again, but I'll catch her. I wouldn't make that girl my wife.
It was so cool. Yeah. I sat down and watched Sarah play through Shadow of Destiny in one playthrough, in one go. That was our big game early on.
It was a good game.
It was a great game.
Man, I want to go back and play Two Thrones again.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No.
I really do.
No.
I love that game. I really love Two Thrones.
Damage, not so much damage control for Warrior Within is all that game was. Forgotten Sands was a little surprise, I gotta say. Forgotten Sands was kind of a...
Prince of Persia 2008 is underrated.
Oh, I love it.
Criminally underrated. Any reviewers out there who gave it like 7s out of 10... Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Alright, I got a little ambush topic for you now.
Okay, go ahead.
Holy Grail games. We were talking about collecting earlier. We touched on collecting a little bit. One game that...
I don't own?
Given the time or the resources to track it down, you would grab in a heartbeat. One game you would you have to own before you die.
Oh, are you going to extend me the same personal courtesy and talk about yours first and give me a minute to think?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Here's my invitation.
Mine is actually a game for a system that I don't own anymore, so I'd have to track a system down first.
Yep.
I'd have to get myself a Sega Saturn, and I would have to get myself a copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Nice.
RPG, you know, game that dethroned Xenogears for best RPG of 1998. I think it was GameSpot. But it was it always looked awesome. It's one of those games, you know, that everybody talks about, but no one's really played. There were only, I think, 16,000 copies of it. You know, it was, and $250, $300 a copy to track one down, let alone track down a complete one, because it was 3 or 4 discs. You know, just, it's a game I've never gotten to see, and I'd always really like to. Just to see if it was worth all the hype, you know? My other one was Valkyrie Profile, but I achieved that goal.
Well, see, I had Valkyrie Profile as well, but then the PSP version came out and, afforded me an opportunity to have it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? God, that's a vicious topic. absolutely.
I mean, I got a few others. I got a few, like, PlayStation 2 era games and stuff I'd like to track down, but they're not ridiculously impossible to get, you know?
No shit, I own a copy of Guilty Gear.
Oh, for PS1?
No, for PS2.
Oh, okay, Guilty Gear 2.
Guilty Gear 1 wasn't, that was nothing spectacular.
No, Guilty Gear 1 kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I had the most frustrating last boss of all time.
Justice?
Yep. He was brutal.
The girl, actually.
She was brutal. The one in...
Best name for a super move ever. Best name for a super move ever. And Justice for All.
Oh, okay.
I think her other one was Gamma Ray.
Right on. Actually, I do remember the last boss in Guilty Gear 2 being worse. Or Guilty Gear X, whatever it was.
Was that the...
The weird chick with the guitar, yeah.
Oh, Eno.
Eno, yeah.
Well, what sucked about Eno was that Eno was a classic example of, wasn't handled nearly as well, of bossism Bison.
Yeah.
They took a character that you could play as in the game.
And just toked it up.
Just toked it up. Yeah. But bossism Bison was awesome because they did little different things with him.
Yeah.
And like,
You're eating son of a bitch. Yeah, come on now.
Dude, I still freaking, you know, I loved it when he teleports off the screen and does the screen-filling Psycho Crusher. Oh, man, I am really trying to think. It had to be something PS1 or PS2 era for me, because that's when I really started, like, really getting into games.
Yeah. And, there's a lot of good ones on PS1 I'd like to track down again, too. Yeah. There's a lot of games on PS1 that I had in part of. I mean, I used to have a pretty sizable PS1 collection. I still got a good PS1 collection, but I used to have, 160, almost 200 games.
I can't say Einhander, because, like, I found Einhander. Actually, you know what I'm going to say? Because it's one, No, I've got E6 too. See, I started finding stuff.
Yeah,
I'll tell you one.
I hear you.
I'm gonna go back and it's one myself and my wife both loved.
Yep.
And I almost had a copy and kind of went, it's not really for me. But when I played it again a few years later at a friend of hers' place. Realized that I've really, really enjoyed it. PlayStation 1 platformer called Tomba.
I remember Tomba.
A little pink-haired Dragon Ball Z-looking caveman. And, you know, it was... To me, it was kind of like an updated version of Adventure Island.
Tomba was a fun game.
Tomba was a fun game. And it's one of those ones that I look at now, and you look on eBay, and it's like... Oh, it burns.
The other one, actually, I got one more.
Yeah.
That I can't believe I forgot about it. And I actually owned this game and parted with it, and I kind of kicked myself for parting with it. Suikoden 2, which is right now the single most valuable game.
Dude, I forgot about Suikoden 2.
The single most valuable game.
I was talking about that on the Facebook page a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if there's any listeners out there who want to either loan us the. Was $250?
Something like that.
And to grab a copy of
it? Or just want
to
buy us one.
Or buy us one. Or you know what?
PayPal donations. We accept PayPal donations.
Or if you got some embarrassing photos of someone at Konami and Sony that we can use as leverage.
Yeah.
To get it put on PSN. I'll take it on PSN.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Hey, I've had two.
Yeah. Okay, start up again.
It's started.
Oh, you are recording.
Yes.
Awesome. You had a pee break, boss.
Pee break.
No, I just thought of another one, yeah.
Okay.
I just got it. When I was maybe 9 or 10, I think it was 10, when, you remember the gas stations and everything used to rent out Nintendo games?
Got any of them Nintendo games?
Yeah, and they started selling them off when the 16-bit systems were starting to come out.
Yep.
I passed up. I don't know why I did it at the time, looking back at it, looking down on it. why I passed it up at the time. because I've been kicking myself about it ever since. I almost owned a copy of Metal Storm.
Oh, that was a great NES. That was a great game too. I mean, the plus side to NES collecting is 9 times out of 10 you're not going to pay a whole lot for it.
Yeah.
NES games, even at their most expensive, you're looking under a bill.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not too bad. SNES is a bit of a different story, and man, PlayStation 1 stuff is brutal.
Tell me about it. What drives me insane about the PlayStation 1 stuff is some of the stuff. I always get really, really mad when I see people paying a ton of money for Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Because it's not like there weren't friggin' 80 million copies.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sold over 10 million copies. Yeah. You know, and you're paying 80 or 90 bucks for a black label copy. You're insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I can't believe the aftermarket on this. So, not like Suikoden 2. I understand being the most expensive game on PS1 right now. Like, I do. I really understand that, because it wasn't made in big amounts. There was only ever one print run, and that was it. It was gone. You know?
Yeah.
And Valkyrie Profile, same deal. One print run, and then it vanished. You know, there were only, I think, 5 copies of Valkyrie Profile on this island.
Yeah.
You know? And that's pretty astounding. You know? On that note, I guess that's it. Thanks for joining us. Hit our Facebook page. Leave some comments, some feedback, some questions, some answers. A copy of Suikoden 2. Whatever. You can find us on DVDverdict.com in the forums under Blast Processing. You know, we're in there. You can chat with us there. You can subscribe to DVD Verdict Presents on iTunes, and you can get Blast Processing and They Came From the North and a whole slew of other really high quality for your listening enjoyment podcasts.
I mean, what are you going to do? Watch G4?
Oh, you just reminded me of G4's E3 coverage. Thanks, John. That damn long-haired fruitcake with the soul patch.
It's not Jeff Keighley's.
No.
I remember, I know who you're talking about, because he looks like Cillian Murphy's retarded gay brother.
Oh, I can't believe you went there.
Humanity's gone.
So, until next time.
That's what, he looks like Cillian Murphy in Breakfast from Pluto. Breakfast on Pluto, whatever
it's called. Until next time, if there's anything we want you to take away from this podcast, it is this. We are out of here.